sad, dude.
Everybody seems sad.
I ain't seen sad for nothing.
Yo, seems sad.
Awesome.
Okay, so welcome to the Comic Anvil episode 27. Today we have Anthony and Josh. They don't talk much though, so.
Hello.
Hey. Oh, stop. Hey guys. What?
Before we start,
we just
before
did.
We start, I want to apologize for two things.
Uh-oh.
The first was all the handling last week that was going on my end.
No worries.
It's because I was using my iPad. When I listened back to the show, I heard how bad it was, so I want to apologize for that. And the second thing is for taking a phone call during recording and not muting my mic.
That was awesome. Come on, I had fun with that.
I apologize for that as well. So,
right.
Sorry,
it was a good time.
It was. So, okay, I don't know. Where do you guys want to start, man? A lot of shit has hit the fan the last couple of days.
I mean, I just feel like ranting for the full hour.
Okay, I'll give you a few minutes and then I'll cut you off. So go.
All right, well, first off, I'll wait for Superior Spider-Man for later, but
yeah.
Ben Affleck, mm-hmm. Good pick for Batman.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm behind it.
Really? We all
good,
agree?
I'm glad.
Oh, shoo.
Yeah.
I bet you Kyle's just freaking. No, I doubt it.
Okay.
I don't see the problem why everybody's freaking out. I was talking to a buddy at work, and he was like, Reindeer Games is not going to be Batman. I was like, yes, he is. I was like, whatever, man. But always, you know, you try to point out, it was funny, we were doing a naming Ben Affleck movie days, and he's like, Payday, and Reindeer Games, and I'm like, Argo, The Town, Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy.
My last hand talking to this guy was like, Armageddon, remember Armageddon, man? He's like, I love that movie. I'm like, that movie sucks, dude. Anyways.
I like Armageddon, actually.
Have you watched it lately?
No, not lately.
My.
See, the thing with Armageddon, what's interesting about the ending is, do you know how Bruce Willis saves Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis dies?
Mm-hmm.
Whose career is now better between Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis? That's all I'm saying.
True.
Yeah.
True. There's a lot of a lot of people are, you know, jumping to conclusions, especially anybody who's reporting about him possibly getting to direct one of these future superhero movies.
Yeah, I can see that happening, actually. Him doing, writing and directing his own Batman film and starring in it. That's probably going to happen.
You think that would happen, really?
Yeah,
I
do,
being
actually.
Doing the Justice League movie, to be honest with you. I think that's really why they kind of grabbed him up real quick. They want him to direct Justice League.
I bet you they paid him a shit ton of money, too.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Well, you know what? I just hate how people are like, oh, he sucked in Daredevil, so...
No,
I don't think people need to let that go.
Daredevil
is like 10 years old. People
it was, okay, at the end of the day, like, the script wasn't great to begin with. It was 10 years ago. The guy's come out and done some amazing films since then. Give him a chance.
Yeah, man. Geely was awesome.
There are a number of reasons why Daredevil is not a very good film. I don't think Ben Affleck is at the toes reasons, really.
No.
His fault.
Did you ever watch the director's cut of that?
Yeah, it's a bit better. I'm one of the people, I'm in the minority who I don't hate it as much as what most people seem to do. I've rewatched it lately, and I can see why it's bad, because he's just like straight out killing people, which isn't very heroic. But I don't know, I've never like disliked Daredevil as much as
I agree with that.
Well, that makes that joke in Daredevil a few months back all the more awesome, you know, where the kids are pointing at him from the school bus. There goes Red Batman.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, okay, so nothing really there because we all like the idea.
Good. I'm glad. I thought either of you were gonna be anti.
No, I've always liked Ben Affleck, man. I don't know why. I have no problem with the man.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't watched all of his movies, but...
Plus, I mean, that jawline.
Yeah, man, he's got the jawline. And you know what else I was thinking? He's a tall dude. They probably needed... Yeah. Like, Henry Cavill must be a tall dude then, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you see,
I would imagine he is.
You don't want to have Batman standing on a box looking in Superman's eye if they're going to fight, you know. Because you know they're going to fight and then they're going to team up. Just like, they have to. Or try to kill each other the whole movie. I don't know. I'd pay money to see that, too.
I think Josh Whedon got it best, though. Because we're saying he'll be good. He just needs the material to work with. Because there's, like... I'm still kind of not looking forward to the film because it's Goyer and Zack Snyder again.
Yeah.
But Ben Affleck being Batman has kind of got me a bit more, like, a little more excited, but it's still, like, them two working on it. It's like, oh, really?
See, my concern kind of with it is watching Man of Steel, I had the assumption that, okay, he is the first kind of superhero in this universe. So they wanted to get a little more older experienced Batman that's kind of got some time under his belt. So now are we supposed to assume that he's been around prior to Superman kind of being there? I just don't understand how this timeline is going to kind of work. Hmm. You know, and that makes me a little nervous with that, with the film going forward.
I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm not concerned. Can you tell?
Yeah.
I Anyways, okay.
At least Nolan gave us 2.5 good movies with Batman. Well, in my opinion.
There you go. You gonna say hi, Maya? That's all you got? Okay. Beat it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Nolan films, but people need to realize that it's over. Move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not compare it. Mm-hmm. Future films to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we can't have we can't have Batman limping around for the rest of his life.
Yeah,
especially if he's going to fight Superman.
I've seen people saying that they can't see anyone else besides Christian Bale as Batman now, and it's like, well, really?
That's weak. That's super weak.
Yeah,
Michael Keaton.
It's insane. I can't see anyone besides Adam West as Batman.
Ew. You know? Yeah.
Reborn. Well, I mean, you
Reborn.
Know,
like, okay, what else happened over DC Comics? They revealed a new Lobo. They stole the story that Geoff Johns applied to Brainiac. And a dude on Twitter, JLA Avenger, he said it best. The dude looks effeminate. And I was like, yep, he does. This is cool, man.
He kind of looks like someone a Twilight fan would be into. Like, exactly. he's probably trying to aim him at those tweeny fans to get young people reading comics again.
Sure, it's the love child of Edward and Jacob. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I didn't like that. What do you guys think?
I'm probably not going to read anything he's in anyway. So doesn't really affect me. Unless he turns up in Wonder Woman, then I don't really care, to be honest.
All right. So I guess that was the two big lines that I could remember. What else happened this week?
Well, there was. I thought this was a joke at first, but they're changing Justice League of America.
Oh, yeah.
To Justice League Canada.
What the fuck, man?
I'm like, what? Really? I think isn't it being written by Jeff Lemire as well?
Yeah, that's weird. Yes.
Wasn't Geoff Johns writing that? Is he?
Yeah. I don't know if they're renumbering it as well, but they are changing the title a bit.
Justice League Canada. They're just
are there actually DC Canadian superheroes? Because I don't know any.
No, they're gonna make Adam Strange Canadian apparently.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay.
No, not okay, man. That doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, I don't know.
But whatever. Marvel beat them to it way back in the day with Alpha Flight.
Yeah.
So.
Which. Doesn't sell anymore. So.
Somebody said, "Yeah, well, I know, but whatever." Somebody said there was no Canadians working on the last Alpha Flight series. And I beg to differ because I believe that Dale Eaglesham is Canadian, and he drew it. So, anyways, that was Justice League Canada. As a Canadian, I'm insulted a little. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why.
It's odd. I thought it was a joke.
I'm gonna be hearing the jokes. Making me angry. I know it. So. I don't look forward to this shit. I don't care if Canadians are or not. Damn you.
There was because I saw the rumor that Jeff Lemire was getting a new DC title. I was like, ooh, that might be cool. And it's like, it's Justice League of Canada. Oh.
Oh my god. What's it gonna be? Who's it gonna be on the team? I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, makes my head hurt. Uh-oh. Oh, don't touch the TV, you little turkey. Okay, so speaking of Justice League, one of my picks this week was Justice League Dark.
Good. I'm glad you brought that up.
Straight up, talking about Jeff Lemire, might as well. You know, I could play both sides of the fence. I don't mind. Anyways, I enjoyed this book because it has some wicked-ass art in it. Very wicked-ass art in it. And Shazam! You know? I don't know.
Yep.
How do you talk about
it? Who was the artist for it?
I'm getting to that.
Mikkel
Janin?
Yep.
Jeremy Cox Colors. Let's see. Weird. Whatever. Sweet-looking issue. I'll give it that much. There's a part where Shazam gets possessed, and it's pretty cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, that page is so sweet.
Yeah, man. I like it. It's like every magical part of the DC universe is touched at the same time. Looks like it's happening.
Yeah, that was interesting.
It's happening on other Earths too, from the looks of this.
Yep.
That's crazy. Actually, makes sense because I heard a theory that this outsider guy or whatever, the guy who's the mastermind behind this whole war, is actually the Alfred from Earth 3.
Ooh.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, that's fucking intense. I don't know where a guy would go to read that shit. Do you guys know?
I have no idea.
Exactly. Like, what the hell? Let's just throw that in there. Anyways, there's a clue. What else can I... good book. I can't wait till the next part, and then I can stop buying DC Comics for a whole month. Because I'm not getting down... Be quiet! Anyways, I'm not getting down on all those 3D covers, probably because I'm not going to be able to buy them. I live way, way, way up north, so I'll be lucky to see one on the wall jacked up to $60.
Yeah, for real.
I can see it, man. I can see it. We'll see.
That's the thing. Is like I pre-ordered some of them and that sort of thing, and I got an email. It's like, oh, you're going to be put into a lottery. You have like a 60% chance.
Oh,
I'm like,
really? Sick burn.
Like, damn it.
A lottery, huh? That's crazy. What about you, Anthony? Yeah. Are you going for
it? You two are breaking.
Well, we're breaking up. Hello? I can hear me.
I'm pretty just fine.
What about Anthony? We're losing Anthony.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Shit. Oh, shit.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I'm back. Okay, my internet died.
Oh. Oh, shit. Okay, somebody say something.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, my bonehead moved in it, pre-order any of the Justice League titles for that, so...
Right.
I'm like, man, I'd like to go get at least those, but by the time I get off work, it'll be dry. There'll be nothing left.
You know, now that I think about it, I kind of get in there pretty quick on a Wednesday, and I might be able to score one. And then flip it for $60 on eBay.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, so anybody else got thoughts on this? I give it a 5 out of 7.
That's rough.
Well, it's almost over, man. I'm sorry, it's not rough. It was great art. Everybody's kind of...
I felt like a lot happened in that issue. I feel like it really moved the plot forward, which it should have. I give it a 6 or 7.
Really? I don't know. For the first time...
Ooh, a 7. Really?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I felt some good characterizations with certain characters, especially Cyborg this issue. In one panel, he was barking orders, and I was like, ooh, authority! And I never felt that from him before, so... It's still, you know, like I said before, it's all these old familiar characters that are kind of new... that I don't seem to know anymore. So I'm working up to it. I give it a 5. Come on. That's pretty good for me.
Okay.
Anyways, and partly because it's part 5 of 6.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay. So I've taken Anthony didn't read that.
I've not been reading Trinity War, no. I've just...
It's kind of fun. Big, dumb fun. I kind of like it.
I might read it when it's collected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, because they have that the Pandora tie-in, I think, is... Because I've been reading that as well. I feel like that's really kind of interesting when it comes to kind of giving a little more detail on the story.
So,
and like,
so it's kind of her whole front. It's kind of integral?
No, okay. But...
Okay. Well, no, I don't get upset. Like, you sound so sad because it isn't.
I don't know. I just
feel like if I'm missing
a beat. It definitely isn't, that's for sure.
I don't want to be missing a beat, that's all. Okay.
Oh, man.
That's cool. Who wants to go next?
I'll do it.
Okay.
I did tweet you guys this last week with that Ghosted, so I kind of want to talk about that.
Oh, Joshua Williamson.
Yes.
Yes, we've had him on the show. way back in the day.
Cool. Anyways, pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's a really, really fun book so far. This is, I guess, the second one, but I'll talk about the first one a little bit as well. Just, it's like Ocean's 11, you know, kind of meets like Ghost Hunters kind of thing. So it's
weird.
It's pretty cool. You get this team up of all these different sorts of characters that seem to have some really different out there personalities, which going forward is going to kind of make it really interesting. Kind of different stuff going on behind people's backs. And, you know, as the reader, you kind of have an idea that, you know, people are going to get screwed over and, you know, killed and that sort of thing. But it's more, I feel like you kind of have this idea of what the finish could look like, but how it's going to get there is going to be the really interesting piece to it.
Hmm.
It's really cool. There, you know, they kind of go into this house and trying to catch a ghost. So the way that the art's done with the ghosts are really kind of cool, because it's like you'll see this, you know, view from the ceiling and the people kind of all down below, and then you just see all these spirits kind of all over the place. And it's got a kind of creepy vibe to it, which is really cool too. So it's a good mix of like the comedy aspect and a little bit of like a horror aspect.
Cool.
Comedy. Yeah. Horror.
What's the art like?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where the story goes. So I'd give it like let's say a 5 out of 7.
Yeah, that's cool. I've been meaning to kind of check that out myself. I keep hearing good things about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, money and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Not buy so many Avengers comics.
Anyway. I thought they have another one coming out.
What? Oh, that one's next. Don't worry. Anthony, it's your turn.
Okay. You probably know what I'm going to bring up now. Well, Eric will definitely know what I'm going to bring up.
Mm.
So, Infinity started, ooh, and...
Oh,
the first issue was pretty awesome, I gotta be honest.
Yes.
Jimmy Chung on art looked really good.
Yes.
Some really good stuff. But yeah. It kinda starts off with the issue starts and it's retelling some of the stuff that happened in New Avengers with the Illuminati, with the when they destroyed the world. It's kinda like the prologue to it, mm-hmm, which is quite handy if you haven't read New Avengers. And then we get the stuff that was in the Free Comic Book Day issue, with the thing, I'm not sure what his name is. Yeah, it's like a alien name that I can't pronounce, going to Earth and like undercover. But basically, the Infinity is, if you've been reading if you've not been reading Hickman's Avengers, there's this race called the Builders, who are basically going through the galaxy and destroying planets, and they're heading towards Earth. So the Avengers have decided that before they get to Earth, they're going to shoot off into space to stop them, and then leaving basically the planet undefended, because all of the heroes have gone off into space, except for the Illuminati, which is Mr. Fantastic, Namor, Black Bolt, Beast, Iron Man, and Doctor Strange. So while the Earth is pretty much empty, Thanos decides that it'll be a good time to invade Earth, because there's something on Earth that he wants. We don't know what it is yet. It'll probably be revealed in the next couple of issues. So there's kind of like these two stories going on at the same time, with like the Avengers, Captain America's Avengers team trying to stop this invasion, while Thanos is gonna invade Earth basically.
With his new generals. His new generals are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, the five generals, yeah. And issue one it's Jimmy Chung on art, and it's so good. I kind of want him to draw the whole thing, but then I remember it's Jerome Opeña and Dustin Weaver on art as well. So, you know, it's not really that bad a deal. But yeah, so good. It's like it feels like this quite big and cosmic event for Marvel.
An infinite epic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling it too, man. Like that first issue with all the introductions of the five generals. How cool a name is Corvius Blade? That's just cool.
It's a badass name.
That is badass. Yeah, like Anthony pretty much laid it out, but the art is beautiful, man. It's full of information. It's a fat comic.
Mm.
If you buy it digitally, actually, you get a Silver Surfer bonus story.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. It's not in the comic though. The $4. I don't have it here. That's why.
If you use the digital code of your comic, you get the Infinite Comic for free when you put it into the Marvel site. That's how I got it.
Cool.
I started that. I just really didn't know what the hell was going on, but I will say that art was pretty fantastic in that book.
Yes. Which leads to
I got a little overwhelmed because I didn't know what was going on and it was such a large issue. So I definitely want to read it, that's for sure.
I think there's enough information there to fill anybody in who doesn't know what's going on. I've had people say it's integral to read Avengers and New Avengers up till now. I think for this event it's integral because as soon as Avengers 18 rolls around, hold on, you little, just wait one, sorry guys.
Guitar. Should we be like talking to fill this space or just wait until he gets
so. I guess so. What Avengers titles do you think need to be kind of read prior to this?
Sorry.
Avengers and New Avengers. It's also tying into Avengers Assemble, Thunderbolts, and some of the other Marvel titles, but I'm probably just going to get the ones that Hitman's writing, because that's usually a safe bet when you read events. Just get the tie-ins that the actual event writer is writing.
Yes. And then did you guys talk about issue 18?
Not yet, Avengers?
No. Pretty cool, man. It's space war. It's just an epic war battle in space, and I just like, I don't know, just my pants a little. I enjoyed it very much. I did, man. It had a friend, what's
Lin-il-yu.
That's it, Lin-il-yu. I don't know where I get Francis from. Anyways.
It's his middle name.
Oh, really?
Lin-il Francis Yu, yeah.
Weird. I didn't know that. just a nice war issue. Shit's going down. And then when you read the Avengers Assemble tie-in, you don't have to, but it ties in pretty good. It's from Spider-Woman's perspective. She gets saved by a Skrull, so if you know anything about Spider-Woman and Skrulls.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty good, man. I don't think it's integral, but it's a pretty good read. Whereas the Thunderbolts tie-in is useless, I think. They mention it. They're like, well, where the hell are the Avengers? And he's like, the Avengers are off Earth. That's why we're going to go kill these motherfuckers now. Because apparently they're following a plan that the Punisher came up with.
Oh, boy.
Because they all get turns of doing missions, I guess. I was like, really? I didn't catch that in the first 12 issues by Daniel Way. I didn't catch much with Daniel Way, to be honest with you. But, not the best tie. I mean, I think that just slapping Infinity across it was kind of a gimmick to help sell that book.
Yeah, you know, to try and boost sales a bit.
Whereas Avengers Assemble actually did tie in. Anyways. Yeah. I give the whole thing so far a 7.
Whoa.
Dude, it's fucking pretty good so far. I know you got to buy 3 comics to get the whole thing, but whatever.
Alright, so what 3 comics do I need to buy?
Infinity, Avengers, and New Avengers.
Okay.
Hey, your mother's home. Go upstairs. Not you, Josh. Oh,
damn it.
In Avengers 18, there's these two panels where the builders fleet decloaks, and I really wanted someone to turn to the camera and shout, "It's a trap!"
You want an Admiral Akbar to pop out of the water?
Yeah, just it's like a random trap. Panel of Akbar. That would have been awesome.
That's a good one. That's funny. Very much enjoyed those, and we just went through all my picks. This was my good week for Avengers books.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eric, I just wanted to ask you what's your opinion on the white pages that have been in Infinity and
great
Avengers?
Break up the pace so you know where you're at.
Yeah.
Because you're like, we're in a different spot now. What the fuck? You know. But this, I think, helped. It's an oversized issue, so it's not that big deal. I think it's a trademark of Hickman's. If you're used to his books,
yeah.
If you've read any of his graphic novels that he's written, you'll notice it everywhere, man. Like, especially in the stuff that he drew. I think it's an artistic choice, and it works well, especially for breaking up the chapters.
Yeah, because there is a lot going on, and it's quite like a lot to take in. It does help break it up a little bit and let you process it, and it gives you like a short break, even if it's just for a page, but, you know.
Exactly.
Mm.
That's what I was going for. Okay. What would you give Infinity, Anthony?
Ooh. Do you know, I don't like giving sevens out, but just because of the Jimmy Chung art, I'm going to give it a seven.
Yeah, double sevens! Too bad, wow. Josh, too bad you don't read it. You'd be giving it a seven, too. It'd be like the Jack.
Well, I started it. I felt so overwhelmed.
Oh, well.
It's on my read list.
It might be better to wait.
I have to say, the Silver Surfer Infinity thing, mm-hmm. I didn't really like it that much.
Well, I don't think it was that bad.
Partly because Silver Surfer was hardly in it for a start, and it was kind of like, all right. Mm-hmm. But I was a little disappointed, because I usually love these Infinite comics, but I was a bit, it's kind of boring.
Yeah, that one kind of threw me off, because the last thing I knew about the Surfer is he was Galactus' herald again, but then, I don't know, maybe because Galactus is the Ultimate.
Changing,
I know, I missed
it?
The change. I was like, son of a bitch! Or maybe it's because they got separated, right? Because Galactus is in the Ultimate Universe? And so maybe it's like, well, fuck it, I don't have anybody. I'm not, fuck, I got nothing to do. Well, I'll save these fucking aliens, I guess. Well, they don't seem very appreciative. That's what I got out of it.
I think the last I saw of Galactus was when he was in Praxion's Defenders.
What? How about
but that kind of like ended. That had like an ending where like everyone was just like, yeah, we're not going to talk about what we did for the past 12 issues.
Hmm.
I think so.
Really? I have issue one of Hunger here. That's where he is now. I don't know what's going to happen over that with that too, but I'm reading it just because I have to for some bizarre reason. Whose turn is it?
That's kind of the bane of being a comic book fan, when you buy a title just because you feel like you have to get like more of the story.
Well, it's not that I have to. I just want to know what the fuck, right? Like, I know it's got something to do with the Time Quake from Age of Ultron. It's got something to do with Infinity. You know, I just kind of want to have all those pieces.
Mm.
That's all. Because I'm a goddamn Marvel Comics fan.
Yeah, when it all comes together, you get a nice little nerdgasm out of it. That's right. The best kind.
Okay.
Anyway,
it's a good thing there's tissue here.
Wow. Moving on.
Yeah, I guess I kind of, I don't know. Am I supposed to pick another book? Is this the part where I get mad at? No, I don't want to get mad at Josh for his shitty review of Superior Spider-Man. Actually, it wasn't shitty review. It's
Wait.
Just one line that he wrote that I didn't agree with.
Why?
Yeah.
He said that nothing happened in this book, and I was like, "Are you fucking kidding?" Like there was no.
It frustrates me. Superior frustrates me. I just can't. I don't know. I'm just so pissed off.
I don't know. That was pretty good. Lots of stuff happened, man. I can't believe that. You know, poor Phil Urich, the newer Hobgoblin, who was a Green Goblin who tried to be a good goblin, turned into a super evil goblin in the end.
There's just too many goblins in that sentence, and it's freaking out.
It's all the goblins in the scene.
There are a lot of goblins.
Yeah.
A lot of goblins, a lot of symbiotes.
There were symbiotes? There was no symbiote.
No, I mean in the Spider universe, there's a lot of goblins.
Yeah. Like, I fucking missed a page, didn't I? I don't know, I like this, how this goblin king is making, seems to be making an army of goblins, from the looks of it.
Well, that's cool, but here's what's going to happen at the end of the day.
What?
Is... Otto's the Superior Spider-Man, so he's got all the things behind him, and he's got all these tricks up his sleeve, and he's going to win, and there's going to be no real fight between them, because he's the Superior Spider-Man. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that he's superior again?
Oh.
Because he's so much better.
Yes, meanwhile, have you been reading the book? He's kind of regathering the Sinister Six, and he's got them held down, right? He's got some kind of sinister plan. It'll be the most superior Sinister Six plan ever.
Spider-Man is because Peter goes through freaking hell all the time, and people can relate to him, and he gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
But no, we have Otto over here that's like, hey, I got these, you know, spider bots that are finding all the crime in the city, and then this whole army behind my back.
Sweet.
And I stopped every shortcut and escape route, so there's no way that you can possibly win. Oh, by the way, I'm going to blow your brains out.
I think it was the meanwhile moments in this book that made it for me. Like, Carly's looking after, or is kind of spying on him and shit. Little things like that. Who the hell is in that costume, man? What is this guy's name again? I can't remember. Race, is that it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
Isn't it like Gene DeWolf's... like sister or someone. I'm sure they have something to do with Gene DeWolf.
Oh, good call. I've completely blanked all that out. It kind of makes sense because of all this Hobgoblin action too. I think I can understand your frustration, Josh, but as a long time reader, I don't feel it. I don't feel that there was a lot progression. I feel there was progression.
A lot of people get frustrated with Superior Spider-Man, I think. It's kind of like...
Well, I think it's the art. I don't like Humberto Ramos. I don't believe
say that.
See, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but hey.
Get out.
Okay.
I'm okay with the art. I mean, it's not... It doesn't blow me away. It's not bad.
I don't know. My favorite part of this book, to be honest with you, was the to be continued... Here Comes Spidey 2099. That's what I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 2099 next month.
It's going to be awesome. Because if you think about it, right, Miguel's from the future, and he knows the history of Spider-Man. So he'll know, hopefully, that Otto is Spider-Man. Maybe.
Ooh.
See what I'm saying? Maybe that'll fuck shit up a little.
Okay. I can get on board with that.
See, there you go. Talked him into it. Anyways, I give it a 5 because Humberto Ramos. Josh gave it a 2.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 5 as well,
nice.
Actually.
Nice.
Well, here's the thing.
For the Hobgoblin shit, at least that's over. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I was all on board with this. I was so cool for the first 12, 13 issues. These last couple ones, it just seems like they're just rehashing the same story, just with a different villain.
I don't think so. It seems to be gaining exponentially how big he's going, you know? Okay, more superior. Like you said, that's a little annoying, sure. But that's the way it feels to me, you know? Because first it was the spider bots, and then it was the fucking... and then the army guys. Now there's army guys and giant spider bots and whatever. Meanwhile, the Goblin King is making his own goblin army. Why not? We're going to have a spider versus goblin war? I like the sounds of that.
Oh, yeah, they've both got armies, haven't they? No, I've only just realized that. Yeah. There's a whole spider army in the Goblin army. Eric,
yes,
who do you think the Green Goblin is? Do you think it's Norman?
I don't know. Oh. I think Dan Slott said everybody just assumes it's Norman. That's all he said, and I'm like, what does that mean?
I don't think it's Norman, but I have no idea who it's going to be.
Harry?
How about Mary Jane?
No, that's not a Mary Jane. What if it's a clone? Because remember the Jackals and
oh, fuck maybe clones, it's, man.
Maybe it's a Norman Osborn clone.
If I want clones, I'll read Scarlet Spider.
I don't mind that book.
Yeah, I dropped it after like issue 6.
I wanted to get back into Venom, but then they canceled it. So I was like, I knew that was going to happen. That's why I stopped buying it. I fucking hate that. I always seem to get into those books that only last about 30-some issues, and that's it.
Yep.
38 is actually quite a high number.
For Venom, it's the highest run that Venom's ever had, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Just in general as well.
It's a good idea. But I mean, he's in a team book on Thunderbolts, so maybe that's where we'll just keep him for now, hopefully. Until they cancel that book, because I got a feeling. Yeah. Anyways.
Oh, do you know what? I think they're going to like renumber Young Avengers as well. Which I'm going to be kind of sad over, because I love that title.
Are they doing it minis, about... then?
Pardon?
Are they doing it, like, mini-style? Do you think?
I don't know. Well, they're doing, like, Marvel 2. Bleeding Cool reckon they're doing a lot of Marvel Now 2 titles, don't they?
Like X-Men.
And the Young Avenger issue that's solicited for December sounds a lot like it's, like, a wrap-up to everything they've done. Because it's, like, this big party with all the young heroes of the Marvel Universe. So it sounds a lot like they're going to... either relaunch the like Kieran Gillen's gonna do like shit. A different similar title or
okay
some I don't
huh. I guess we'll see. Anyways, where are we at? Josh?
Right.
I think it's Josh's turn. Wait, did I start? Oh. Did Josh start? Who cares? Josh go.
Oh man. I'm still heated about
what, Peter?
Spider-Man. we have to bring in a DC book again here.
What?
Right?
Why? Oh, see, you're biased. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Hey,
go ahead.
I mean,
I'm cool.
Pretty much, I was planning to talk about Superior, but you stole the show there, so I was gonna have two books that were non-DC.
Hey, man, Anthony stole 3 of my books, so I'm down to 1.
I steal everyone's books.
That's fine. That's because you have good taste. I don't mind.
Okay, we'll talk about Superman Unchained.
Oh, really? Number 3?
Ooh.
Yeah. I think I forgot to read number 2 because I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
I don't know. This is I was disappointed, a little disappointed with 2. 3 was pretty awesome. Jim Lee's art is just phenomenal.
Well, dude, I mean, sure. Okay. Sorry. I get tired of some people after a while. Jim Lee's one of them.
I don't know. This book had some awesome art in it, and you know, it's kind of cool because they have this. I don't even know if this quote unquote villain has like a name yet. And Batman in issue 2 had pretty much said, "Hey, you know, this thing's more powerful than Superman is." And we got to see like a lot of action in this issue, and pretty much Superman just getting shit beat out of him.
I thought this guy was like a new Doomsday.
I think it's that's kind of where they're going with it. Hmm.
Well, he doesn't look like Grey Hulk with bone exoskeleton anymore, so that's good. What do you think? Did we lose Anthony?
Well, he landed in the story in 1938, didn't he? Which is the year Superman debuted, I think. Okay. So, I don't know. I think it's kind of like this idea, this play on the Superman character, similar to what Snyder did in Project Superman, actually. But is it not from Wildcats? Jim Lee's Wildcats stuff, or is it a new character?
I have no idea. I was never really a Wildcats guy, so that's a good question. Kind of like that idea too. How they're just trying to force feed us all these old Wildstorm characters that nobody knows.
Yeah, that's probably awesome.
My favorite part about the issue was General Lane pretty much telling Superman, "Hey, fucker."
Yep.
I give him the smack.
Yeah, I love that. I love that conversation. Pretty much, it was like
it was very wordy that issue.
It was.
And then when you get to the action,
you know, Snyder is usually wordy though. Oh, you know, that makes sense. He can be wordy.
He's a writer. He should be.
Yeah, I love that conversation where he was just like, "Hey, Superman, here's why I don't like you. Yeah. You're off doing these little things, and I got this guy over here that's, you know, stopping wars." You know, they said, you know, there was two atomic bombs that we thought were dropped on Japan in World War II, but really it was one, and then the other one was this like creature just causing mayhem and making people think that there was a second bomb dropped.
Okay, well, you think about this though. Okay, if this creature is so much more powerful than Superman, why the fuck is it working for the army? Like, what do they have that's going to stop it? Do you know what saying? Like, even if, you know, like, he seems to be so powerful, even if they did break out the kryptonite, would it affect him? He's so powerful, you know? Because if you think about All-Star Superman, when he gets to be a certain age, right, or he got so powerful from the sun that, and then Lois shoots him with the kryptonite gun, he's like, I knew it. I'm invincible to kryptonite now.
Yeah.
So if this character's so freaking powerful and he's working for the government, he obviously has some kind of sinister ulterior motive. Don't you think?
Well, I would think that, but they kind of touched on it a little bit.
Did they?
Yeah, because they were like, he was like, "This is my like family." Like this, like I think there's an emotional tie to it for him. There was like a couple panels where he was like, "This is my home. Like I haven't had like a home kind of thing. Like this is where I feel at home in this like facility." So I think he's kind of, I don't know, brainwashed or...
I bet you it's an act.
I would love it to be an act. That'd be cool.
Anyways, that's my theory. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, why the fuck would you... Why would anybody... I don't know. Stockholm Syndrome, maybe? You just get used to being...
Yeah.
I don't know. Fuck, whatever. Anybody who's got that much power should be locked up all the time.
Yeah.
Because
I don't get this issue.
Huh? Like,
I don't get why on the last two pages he suddenly has a hood out of nowhere. Like Jim Lee just starts drawing him with a hood.
Oh, and they go into war?
I don't get why.
And then he threatens Superman?
Yeah.
That's
his battle armor.
His battle hood to protect his head.
Battle hood, go.
90s. Oh, wait, there's actually a panel where he's putting it up before they go out. It is a battle hood.
Nice.
Okay.
All right. What would you rate that, Josh?
90s.
I'm gonna give it a 7.
Holy fucking duck! All right.
Ooh.
I wouldn't go that high.
I'd say.
Plus,
six.
I mean, I kind of Lois was a bit of a badass in the issue too.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, but I thought, who cares about Lois? I thought it was all about Wonder Woman now. Why would you even keep Lois around, man? If they're not in love, I don't see. Fuck it, I give it a 4. Piss me off. No, I'm mad. What is going on with Lex Luthor? Because I did miss issue 2, man. He looks all like, I don't know.
He's not.
Is he like, is the robot controlling him, or is he controlling the robot, or what? Because
I think he might be controlling him.
But isn't it his voice and face on the monitor from the robot?
Yeah.
Maybe it's his subconscious.
He's like lobotomized or something.
Is this,
but he's is this like a
setup?
Screen.
Is this a setup for the Forever Evil thing with him?
I think it is.
Oh, okay.
It has to.
He's gonna get his giant purple and green armor.
Oh, that's another thing. I have to wait. I have to wait 2 months for the next issue. That's kind of shit.
Why is that?
Because it's Villains Month next month, and there's no Superman Unchained.
Oh, that's shit, huh?
Just like there's no Wonder Woman or Animal Man or Batman. It's all the fucking villain stuff. That half of which I don't care about. Most of which I don't care about. I'm just gonna read Marvel.
Anyways, okay. No,
anyways.
I'm not going to give it a 4. I take that back. I'm still angry about Lois. Anyways. Where are we at?
John. It's Anthony.
Anthony.
Was it my go?
I guess so. Yep. Please don't talk about Hellraiser.
Well, funny you should say that, actually, because...
Wait. No.
Yeah, I want to talk about a Marvel title, but I don't think we've talked about it before. A Marvel Now title, and it's Jason Aaron and Issad Ribic's Thor: God of Thunder. Issue 11 came out, which wraps up the kind of the God Hunter arc that's been going on for the past 11 issues.
God.
And the God Butcher, and it's been a really good story arc. People should like. Issue 11 is kind of like the conclusion to it, so people should either like catch up digitally or see if they can find the single back issues in the store or wait for the trade, because it's like this really good Thor story, and Thor's got kind of like a big supporting cast with like Odin and Loki and the Warriors 3, but none of them are in this. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much just Thor, but it's 3 different Thors, because it's the old Viking Thor before he has the hammer. It's like the present day Avengers Thor, and then the future Thor, who looks a lot like Odin, even with, to the point where he's missing an eye, and it's quite a like character driven personal story to it as well, because it with Thor hunting down this God Butcher, because the God Butcher is killing all the gods, and it's like this spans into different universes. It's a really good Thor story.
Yes,
people should read it.
Yes, I agree. I think we have mentioned it, but. I kind of fell off the radar, you know. It always seems to be between our skip weeks that it comes out, I think. Good choice, man. I like that book. I enjoyed the ending. I understand we're going to see young Thor and old Thor again in the future.
Ooh,
yeah. Cool. Jason Aaron was doing a kind of a Q&A a couple weeks ago. It was pretty good on Twitter, sorry. And he kind of let some of that stuff out. So, yeah, man, the Issad Ribic is an amazing artist, and he totally suits Thor. Am I right?
Yeah, he does.
Totally.
I don't know if he's doing the next arc or not, but he out of the 11 issues, he did 10. There's a fill-in by Butch Geist between like the two arcs. So.
Still good. I don't know. Everything about that was a good run. Like right from issue one, I was hooked. I'm like, this is amazing, man. And they don't, you know, time is broken. Why the hell can't you have 3 different Thors from different time zones teaming up to kick the living shit out of a God Butcher?
Whew.
Works for me. I like how the old guy's like, hey, I think he says to the Avengers Thor? He's like, go down to the vault and get the things that we need. And they go down there and it's a beer cellar, basically. All the ale. He comes up with 2 barrels of ale. He's like, we're ready. I was like, these guys rock.
Yeah, the only thing better than Thor is 3 Thors. So.
Yeah, 3 Thors drinking beer at the same time. Good book. It was a good wrap-up. That character, what was his name? The God Butcher guy. Fuck, I can't remember now.
I don't know.
He was cool.
Oh, Gore.
Gore, yeah. He was cool, man.
Yeah. He'd actually be a good villain for a Thor movie as well.
Damn straight.
Not that I think they would use him, but he would.
Holy shit, that'd make a cool movie, man.
Mm.
That would still make a cool movie. I would totally watch that. Such a good idea.
Mm.
You don't read Thor, Josh? Probably not.
No.
That's too bad. I enjoy Thor. I have for a while.
It's been so much better than what Matt Fraction did before. I like Matt Fraction.
Oh, yeah, I tried that. I didn't like that one.
Mm.
Of course, if Kyle was here, he'd say it's because I hate Matt Fraction. Anyway. I don't hate Matt Fraction. I think I've gotten everything that Jason Aaron's ever written. You know that? Like, the guy's...
Yeah, I've not read much of his stuff, to be honest. He's like... When they announced the 5 Architects, he was the one I was least familiar with.
Right.
But I've... I keep meaning to read some of his stuff. It's just
I love
getting around to
loved it. His Wolverine. Still loving his Wolverine. Loved his Punisher. I don't know. I like his Thor too. It's pretty good. I like any superhero that drinks beer, though. Can I say?
I drink beer.
Yeah, but you're not a superhero, so fuck off. I mean,
hey, yeah, I am.
That's why you're on the podcast, because I like you.
My mom said I am.
Oh. Okay. Well, your mom said go upstairs. Okay, so what would you give that book, man?
I'm going to give it a 6. I'd give it a 7, but it's not really new reader friendly with it being the conclusion to an arc. So
yeah,
11 I think I'm going to give it a 6.
Good call.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree. I'll go with a 6. Because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful
story. Yeah.
The art is beautiful. Butch Geist or Asad Rubik, doesn't matter. Compatible. I think it was the colors really helped this series as it went along.
Mm.
Anyways, where are we at? My turn, huh? Look at that. 46 minutes. We're doing good here, boys. I'm going to talk about a graphic novel that is published by Boom Studios, and it's actually reprints of old Epic Marvel comics. Yes, that's right. You heard me. Old Marvel Epic comics. It's called Clive Barker's Hellraiser Masterpieces, because these are true masterpieces. And when I was a young kid reading these, I think it was about, I'm not even going to try and guess. Let me see, when was it originally published? I've got a couple of these issues. There we go, 1989. That sounds right.
That's when I was born.
Awesome. I was still reading comics in 1989. Hellraiser comics specifically. Wow. You were born, eh? I was 9.
I would have been 1.
5 plus 9 is what? 14. I was 14.
Oof.
Anyways, looking at some of the names in here, Bernie Wrightson, Mike Zeck, Kyle Baker. These are just the artists, man. One that really surprised me that I never knew about, man. I've read the story numerous times. The story was called Homecoming. It's about some Cenobites coming in, and this dude's going to sacrifice his son to them instead of having them take him. He's going to give up his son. And I was looking at the credits. The story was by John Rosum, and the art was by Mark Texiera and Jimmy Palmiotti. That kind of blew my mind. I was like, I cannot believe I've been reading books by those two characters for this long. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It wasn't when I was 14, I wasn't really following writers and artists and stuff. I was just like, cool, man, Hellraiser. I like Hellraiser. It's fucked up. Because I'm fucked up, apparently. Which brings me around. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I wanted to touch on that. But
explains a lot.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, even Clive writes a story in here. It's just really good little short stories. They're kind of done in ones, and they're all very horrific on different levels. The one that Kyle Baker does, his art just seems so out of place for a Hellraiser story, but it works for this one because it's about a clown. A crazy motherfucking Cenobite clown. Anyways, good story. The Mike Zeck one is about a boxer, and I never really caught this until I read this the last time. I've read this story numerous times as a kid, but it's how he's doing the training. You know how your shadow box in the middle of the ring? That's how he unlocks the box, is by doing these shadow boxing patterns. I thought that was kind of cool. You can never go wrong with Mike Zeck art either. Good reprint book. I highly recommend it if you like Hellraiser. I give it a 6 because it's reprints. But a lot of the names in there are classic dudes and dudes who became classic, apparently. Which leads me to say, it's a horror comic, right? Did you guys hear this shit about the comic Beat freaking out about those torture covers for Crossed comics? Like, I've talked about Crossed on here a few times. So apparently half the internet is telling me that I'm kind of fucked in the head for reading that shit. And I don't see that. I just don't. I like horror, and seriously, this is some extreme.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like those EC comics. You know, the instead of just implying it, we're gonna show you. You know, and you know, it makes me uncomfortable and queasy sometimes because it's downright nasty. And I think that's the whole point of a horror comic, is to scare the shit out of you. You know, sometimes these books do. Sometimes it's so over the top. You're like, holy fuck! All right, whatever. Just put it down. But I've noticed it. I was looking at my collection, and it was just this. Specifically, they were talking about these torture covers. There's like gore covers, wraparounds, blah, blah, blah. And my comic shop has been specifically giving me the torture comics, because the dude's like, I pick the ones that I think are the coolest for you. And I'm like, okay, I think you're going to stop doing that.
I mean, it's cool. But
I think the other covers are sometimes better. Just because, yeah. I don't know. A lot of the things that were being said is like most of the violence that you see on the covers is directed at women, which is untrue. It's completely unfounded. Like,
yeah. All this feminism stuff.
Like, no offense, but I get that. But this is a horror comic, right? The things that happened, yeah. The bad, rapey, disemboweling things that happened to the chicks happened to the dudes more often than not. Fuck, even the animals, man. The cross stuck a grenade up on a cow's ass and sent it across the fucking boat. And then the fucking thing shits and the fucking grenade pops out and blows the fuck up, right? Because the cross get a little smarter and they're trying to litter the, you know, here you want some cow to eat for the humans. It was kind of bait. It was really weird. Like I said, it's a fucked up story. I guess that's all I wanted to say about that. I don't know. I'm not fucked up because I read cross comics or because I buy the torture incentive covers. It's not my fucking fault. That's all I have to say about that, I guess. Sorry about the rant. Not feel stupid. Anyways. No. Well, thanks, Josh.
I mean, it's something that you enjoy. Like, who's to say, like, you... Like,
I was pretty angry about it the day I was reading that. I was like, fuck this, you know? And the thing was, I'm reading the comment section on this page, and I don't know, she just shuts it down, like the chick who set it up. She's like, oh, I see the misspellers are here, so I'm going to shut down the thread. I was like, that's fucking lame. I think because the last three posts were all specifically gunned at the website for pointing out that, you know, like, really, if you don't want these people buying these stuff, why are you exposing it so much? You know, this stuff has been out there for years, and you're just getting to it now, like it's news. What kind of a site is this, right? So...
Well, it's just like the whole thing, like, violent video games are causing
these... Oh, that's fucking like, horseshit, too. That's training for the...
You know, it's the same argument. Hey, just because... Man, you got a kid and all that kind of stuff. Are you being all sick and twisted like that? No, it's just something that you enjoy reading. And at the end of the day, like, fuck you, you know?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, I can't believe that we've gotten this far in society and we're still fucking screen burning that book, you know?
Yeah.
So.
It's just that people love to just talk about stuff like that to get people to follow them or to get attention or that sort of thing. And it's like, come on.
I'm sure Avatar Press was like, awesome. Thanks for the publicity. You know?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Not all Avatar comics are like The Crossed. I mean, The Crossed is a specific... It's a fucking... intelligent zombies book, basically. Like, they're not even zombies. I don't know how to explain it. It's like an infection. It makes you fucking maniacally crazy and you don't give a shit. It's like it turns off all your pain receptors in your head and you just do what you want. You want to lung fuck a whale? Give her. You know? Lots of dicks get ripped off in that book, too. That's why I'm saying I don't understand why people are like, it's so, you know, fucking violent towards women. I'm like, I see so many cocks getting ripped off in that book. It's disgusting. It's gross.
If it makes you so uncomfortable, don't fucking read it.
No.
You know?
Well, no. That's the point of reading it, though, man. Like, it's a horror comic, you know?
Yeah.
Could you think of anything more painful than getting your dick ripped off?
No. It makes me sick to think about it.
Yeah, I'm a little queasy right
getting
now.
Getting kicked down there hurts just as bad.
That's right. I get punched there a couple of times. Anyways, okay, so I'm done with that. Anybody else got another book they want to talk about before we wrap this up?
Yeah.
Real quickly, I just want to touch on... one, and it's Wonder Woman.
Well, you just stole Anthony's pick.
No,
I can talk about something else because I had another book. I'll talk about.
No, Wonder Woman's cool.
No, you can talk about Wonder Woman because I was going to talk about something else. So it's okay.
Okay.
I don't know. It's just I think we finally get to the end of this kind of story. With this firstborn and the gods and you know, this book this story has just been standalone from the New 52, which I like. I mean, I don't understand why there's not a couple more Wonder Woman books out there. And when you look at, like, Green Lantern, you got, like, six, you know, titles from them. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, this Wonder Woman story has just been awesome. I would love to see it, you know, put into, like, an animated movie or some kind of film because it was just... Wonder Woman is kicking ass. I mean, at the end of the book, she becomes like the goddess of war, and it's going to really kind of, I think, affect her going forward. And it's going to be really cool to see what happens.
She's the goddess of war now. That's kind of cool.
Yes,
it's heavily implied.
It's heavily implied.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, like, this whole, like, trying to save this firstborn child of, like, you know, and having Wonder Woman get involved. I think, I want to say, Apollo was kind of, like, behind, like, her kind of, like, helping out and saving this baby. I wonder if it was, like, part of his plan all along was, like, he knew, you know, she was going to end up becoming, like, the Goddess of War. And that's what the overall, like, you know, point of this, like, mission, I guess, was, to get her to get this, you know, power. So it'll be cool to see how it affects her character going forward. Great story. I mean, it's been, like, the ongoing story for all 23 issues, so it's not, you know, some easy jumping on point. The one thing about it, the story that frustrated me a little bit is just, like, you know, you had it going on for, you know, 23 issues, and I one thing about DC, I wish that they would have a summary page in the beginning of the book. It pisses me off so much. But yeah, I liked it. I'll give it a 6 out of 7.
Nice.
Good book.
I think, if anything, Wonder Woman needs that more than some other titles, just because of all what's going on with, like, the different gods and stuff. It's hard to follow sometimes, but
yeah,
it's still a really good comic though.
Yep. It'd be nice if you had, like, your summary page, and then you had, like, you know how sometimes they'll show, like, each character with their name kind of by, because sometimes these gods, I'm like, who is this god again?
Mm-hmm. Marvel do that a lot, actually. They do it with Infinity as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think Wonder Woman though has the benefit of where DC are just letting Azzarello pretty much do what he wants and tell the story he wants to tell, which DC don't really do that often unless your name is like Geoff Johns or Scott Snyder or Brian Azzarello. That's why it's not really like tied in with anything. I mean, I suppose it's tied in with villains more because there's two Wonder Woman villain titles, which I'm probably actually going to buy. But
that's cool.
Yeah,
I understand that Grant Morrison is doing his Wonder Woman project now. The last episode of Batman on Batman he was on. Yeah, they were talking about they're gonna take it back to the Wortham days, you know, where she was like a dominating sex symbol. I guess is how they described it. Sounds like fun to me. I don't know.
Awesome.
I think Wonder Woman kicks ass, man. I didn't mention it before when I was talking about Trinity War, but when she gets possessed, I was like, I'm flipping the page. I'm like, she's gonna kill every motherfucker here, and this is how it goes down. Yeah. Wonder Woman kills them all, and then the villains take over. I'm like, this is cool, but not quite. That's not quite what happened.
Yeah.
But I always felt that she could kick the shit out of Superman, even. You know.
Oh, she's probably one of the most powerful.
He has magical properties. If he's still vulnerable to magic, have they just said that he is? I don't know.
Yeah.
They have. Okay. Anyways, that's my 2 cents. Cool. Anthony, you got one you want to talk about now?
Yeah, I want to talk about Batman 66, Chapter 7.
Really?
Yeah, written by Jeff Parker and art by Joe Quinnos, I think you pronounce his name. I'm not too sure. He's done covers for Captain Marvel, and he's done a few issues of FF, filling in for Mike Allred. But what's good about this one is it's got Harley Quinn in the Batman 66 universe. Ooh. Well, she's not Harley Quinn yet. She's still Dr. Quinn, the psychiatric at Arkham Asylum, which I thought was pretty cool. And it's also got the Red Hood and his gang. And the story is basically Batman needs the Joker's help to stop the Red Hood gang. And the great thing is they've got the Joker, it's like Cesar Romero because it's 66, and the artist's doing with his like mustache, because in the Batman movie the actor wouldn't shave his mustache off for the role, so they draw him in the comic where you can still see like bits of his mustache underneath the white paint.
That's awesome.
Which
awesome.
Is a really nice detail.
Yeah.
And cool. Yeah, just a pretty fun, it's not got any of that guided view mad jiggery pokery on it, but it's still a pretty fun comic, and it still feels like a Batman 66 comic with, like, when I read it I hear like Adam West in my head and like Cesar Romero as the Joker, which is what I want. So
very cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I read the first two issues, and I, you know, I'm I'm interested in that book. I just haven't had time to kind of catch up on it. But that's that's cool with little mustache detail and that sort of thing. So I'm going to have to catch up real quick.
Huh. I like that idea. How come your brother's not calling you to go to the bar, Anthony?
I don't know. He's out doing other things tonight. I'm home alone.
You're not going to the pub tonight?
I don't think I am, no. It doesn't look like it.
Really?
No, shit. Thanks for reminding me I have no social life, Eric.
What are you talking about? Usually you do, you're like, I gotta go, I'm going to get hammered. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah, not this week. I need to save my money, that's fine.
Yeah, whatever. At least you have friends. I just have you guys.
Oh.
Oh, shut up. Okay.
I like how he says that when Kyle's not here.
What? Where's
Kyle? I'm joking.
Yeah, where is Kyle, man? He left the country. I was like, what the hell?
I don't know.
He took a picture of I don't know if it was a toilet or a duvet, but it looked like the wall was...
Looked like something you see in France, actually, so maybe he's in France.
Really?
I don't know where he is.
Why would he be in France? I'm going to have to grill him about that next time. Anyways. Anybody got anything they want to say? No? No? That's it? Wrap it up? We're done? I got to poop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too.
All right. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, tandem pooping it is.